Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I thank you for joining me today as we continue on in a message I've entitled The Greater Works. And we're looking at the second chapter of the Gospel of John, verses 1 through 11, the wedding at Cana, which John said in verse 11, "This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him." We've shared just the first three verses, and well, let me read verses 2 and 3 for you. "And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage, and when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, They have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come." Now, when we read this today, we might be taken aback a little bit because it might seem that Jesus' response is a little harsh and stern. But we have to understand that the translation of this idiom, both in classical Hebrew and Greek, would be rendered this way: "What do you want with me? Why do you involve me? Leave me to follow my own course." Literally, "What to me and to you?" Remember, at the cross, Jesus said, "Woman, behold thy son. Son, behold thy mother." He loved his mother, and he was, even in his final agonies, was concerned about her care. And when he said, "My hour is not yet come," he used that particular noun and adjective, "my hour," seven times in the Gospel of John. And of course, that was referring to his death. All right, now let's take some time, and I'm going to read, because you may be in a place, maybe at work or driving your car, you don't have a Bible in front of you, so I will read verses 5 through 11. "His mother saith unto the servants, Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there were set there six water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing two or three firkins apiece." That's 18 or 27 gallons. "Jesus saith unto them, Fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And he saith unto them, Draw out now, and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bear it." The governor was the man in charge. "When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom, and saith unto him, Every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him." Well, we're going to be looking at some important things now, as we've now seen an overview of John's account of what occurred at Cana. We want to begin by looking at his relationship with his mother. There was a change that was taking place. 30 years earlier, an angel spoke to Mary, Matthew 1:21, and told her that he, Jesus, would save his people from their sins. Now, Mary was a godly Jewess. She knew it would take the God's Lamb to deliver from sin. And what we see here is it's not a rebuke to her, but it is an emphasizing of the fact and a gentle bringing her into an understanding and into a revelation, not to exert her mother's authority, her prerogative that she had as his mother, that she'd had up to that time. He was letting her know that she could not exert authority over his divine mission, that authority that she did possess as his mother was now coming to an end. Her maternal authority was being terminated. You remember the account in the Gospels where Jesus was 12 years old and the family had gone with others to Jerusalem to Passover, and he remained behind. He was gone 3 days, and they found him teaching the learned men in the temple. He was 12 years old, and they said, "Well, son, why did you do this?" They were, of course, worried and anxious, but he said, "Didn't you know I must be about my father's business?" But then it says very clearly he went with them and was subject to them. He, as a good son, submitted to their authority, even though he was the son of God, yet he was the son of man. And what do we see here? That there is an importance that Mary had to learn a painful lesson, namely, that Jesus was committed to the Father's will, and the time for his manifestation was at hand. And you know, beloved, God does that in our relationship with him. He is continually, he's faithful. He's always there, but the nature, the quality of our relationship changes, just as it did for Mary. When he was a baby, when he was a child, she was mother. And even as he grew up and as he came into maturity and he was head of the household, he was carrying on the carpenter's business in lieu of his father, Joseph, his father by name only, the heavenly father was his father. The Holy Spirit had overshadowed Mary. She was a virgin and conceived. This is one of the marvelous things that God did. But Jesus was committed to the Father's will, and it was important for her to begin to realize that. What are some other lessons? Well, beloved, we, as God's children, we are his children, but we must never move in presumption or irreverence. We are the clay, and he is the potter. And God honors faith. It is important. The just shall live by faith. We must live our entire Christian life in faith, through the faith of the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. But we must never move in presumption or irreverence. We can't shake the Bible in God's face and say, "Your word says, and you've got to do it because you said it in your word." Well, beloved, that's not the way to approach God. And even though we may have served God for many years, we may be very familiar with the things of God, we need to look at the example of Uzzah. Remember, he in his father's house, they were caring for the ark. After that, David made the decision to bring the tabernacle. He had the tabernacle set up and was bringing the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem. They had it on a cart, the oxen stumbled, Uzzah placed his hand to steady the ark, and of course, certainly we think, well, he was meaning well, but it was not to be touched, and he died before the Lord. Familiarity, beloved, breeds contempt. It had been in his home for weeks and months, and so that was a stern lesson to all of us that we must never move in presumption or irreverence. And also, the second lesson is that Well, really, the third, Mary learned the painful lesson, as we all do, that there's changes in our relationship with the Lord. For example, when we're just a baby, God deals with us a certain way, and then He expects us to grow. Just as a natural child grows, and greater expectations and responsibilities are placed on that child. In the natural, a little infant can't do anything. They just have to be cared for. God deals with us the same way. But also, we see here, by this example, there's no partiality in the things of God. Jesus' family, His relatives, could not expect more than any other people as to treatment or to the working of miracles. There's a classic example of this, Mark, the third chapter, verse 31. There came then His brethren and His mother, and standing without, He was in a house teaching, sent unto Him, calling Him. And the multitude sat about Him, and they said unto Him, Behold, thy mother and thy brethren would seek for thee. And He answered them, saying, Who is my mother or my brethren? And He looked round about on them which sat about Him, and said, Behold, my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my brother and my sister and my mother. You see, Jesus began to exemplify how He would successfully fulfill His Father's mission, and how beloved we are to successfully fulfill the mission God has for us by placing our relationship with the Lord more important, more sacred, of greater gravity than any other relationship. And if we'll do that, then all the relationships we have will be in proper order and in proper perspective, and God will bless them. Praise God. Well, my time is, it's just flying by, and I must bring this broadcast to a close. Please join me tomorrow as we continue right on. In a moment, the announcer will give our contact information, and I encourage you to write. It's so good to hear from new listeners. You may email me, and if you'd like an answer back, I can't spend much time on emails, but include your mailing address, and I will personally send back a letter to you after I pray, and I deal with every letter that comes in individually, even those that don't send offerings. That doesn't matter. God sees fit to meet the needs of this ministry. He has done it for over 50 years. So thank you for joining me. I love you. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. Or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606, or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless.